Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Hello, welcome back to my channel. And this is about Kemi Badenoch, or O Kemi Badenoch, is it? So Mrs. Badenoch has been leader of the Conservative and Unionist Party since November last year. My goodness, it's only about 6 months, but the clock really is ticking for her. I realise now she is doomed as a leader of His Majesty's most loyal opposition. She's also the first black woman to become a leader of the party, the first female to take over as party leader whilst the party's in opposition. Remember, Theresa May and Liz Truss both took over while the party was in government, therefore became prime minister straight away. Well, there's one thing for certain, and that is that Mrs. Badenoch, I think it's Badenoch actually, will never occupy 10 Downing Street, and she might not be a cabinet minister. Now, I warm to her. She's personable. She's a competent orator and so on. They say she was a fairly good government minister, but she's clearly over-promoted. Not that I warm to Robert Jenrick. He's just foul. And James Cleverly is a bit of a dimwit. It was a weak opposition, partly because it's a hospital pass. Who'd want to take over as leader after the worst defeat in the party's history, the worst since 1681? Thanks a lot, Rishi. But the opinion polls show the Conservative Party is its lowest ever ebb, its lowest since opinion polls began in the late 1940s. And there was no sort of scientific data prior to that showing it at, was it 11% in the polls? 11? It really is staggering. Now, it could be a freak poll, but even if that one is wrong, it's not that far out compared to the others, which showing it like the party is sort of 20% at best. And okay, she took over a difficult situation, but she had a share in creating that difficult situation, collective cabinet responsibility. She was business secretary, and therefore she shares responsibility for all areas of policy. And if you don't accept that, you resign from the cabinet. So she's apologized a little for how the party fouled up in government. Where she's gone bad as party leader, where she's failed, and this he really is individually responsible for, not collectively, is not taking every opportunity to be there in the media. She'll not go on a show if she thinks they'll get a rough ride. Well, sorry, you've got to seize every opportunity there is to disseminate your message. Think back to Charles Kennedy, leader of the Liberal Democrats, 1999 to 2006. And Chat Show Charlie, I know he was panned as a lightweight, but he seized every chance that was going to get his face on the box, to get recognition. And he had a certain affability which appealed to people who weren't natural Lib Dem voters. And hence they rose in the 2001 election. They rose in the 2005 election to 63 MPs, which is their highest since the 1920s. I know under Sir Ed Davey, they've done even better than that. Kemi Badenoch is almost as unpopular as Sir Keir Starmer. But yet that's another damning statistic. Considering that the Prime Minister is widely hated, it shouldn't be that difficult for the Conservatives to lay a glove on him. And, you know, she's outclassed by him in the House of Commons, you know, in Prime Minister's questions. She's not raising the funds for the party. Some major donors are giving their benefactions to Reform United Kingdom. She's not persuading people to come back from Reform UK. Far from it. Reform UK has grown. It was a cataclysmic set of local election results. The Conservative Party lost every single council it was defending, even in true blue counties like Kent and Buckinghamshire. And I know because the Garden of England is Nigel Farage's bailiwick. All right, Reform UK had a bit of an advantage there, but there are really no crumbs for comfort in those results. And Kemi Badenoch's task has just got harder because Labour has taken a politically astute decision. That winter fuel allowance that they took away from middle and high income pensioners, they're restoring. Now, they haven't said it will kick in 2025, but nevertheless, the principle that will take some wind out of Badenoch's sails. And of course, this was a point that they were going to really attack on, and partly because the Conservatives relies on the silver vote quite heavily. And that would resonate with older people. But just because people are deeply disgruntled with the Labour Party, that doesn't mean that they are switching allegiance to Reform United Kingdom. They're going to the Liberal Democrats, to the Greens, to Reform UK. So Kemi Badenoch has got a very long way to go to repair things. And though she seems likable in a way, she seems relatable. The latest Party of the Liberal broadcast was about Kemi, the individual, not the politician, in her kitchen, leveling with you personal, holding a warm drink as she's a warm person, is all subliminal. None of this is random. It's all very carefully crafted by the image makers. So she's a decent media performer. I wouldn't say she's an excellent one, considering she's been in frontline politics for years. So where does that leave us? Heaven defend us from Robert Jenrick, who is viciously anti-Palestinian, who never saw an atrocity against the Palestinians that he didn't like. James Cleverly, I think, is out of his depth. Who else is there? Kip Malthouse, I can't even remember who the also were, what rounds were. Priti Patel, I didn't think even contested it. Suella Braverman is seen as just malevolent. My goodness. So it's a rather thin field coming up there. But, is she going to be still leader at the party conference in October? Probably. Will she be leader by Christmas? I doubt it. I cannot see her leading the party into a general election in 2028 or thereabouts. And goodness, changing leader doesn't automatically solve the problems. Now we look at William Hague, who was a dreadful leader. Do some people think that was a mistake not to dump him before 2001? Possibly. Would have made things better? Maybe. It would have made things worse. It would be hard for things to be worse than it was then. I mean, it's worse now than it's ever been. Now, you might say, look at the European elections, June 2019. The Tories scored only 9% of the vote. 9%. Is it coming fifth? That didn't stop the Tories romping home to a landslide victory 6 months later at the Westminster election, capturing 43% of the vote, the highest vote share since 1979, and the highest number of seats since 1983. But there are a number of differences. The party had incumbency back then. It had a popular policy around Brexit. The Brexit Party, it's now called Reform UK, stood aside in key seats to give the Conservatives a clear run. Labour was led by Jeremy Corbyn, who most people thought would be a terrible prime minister. The Labour's policy was all over the place on that one. And so the Conservatives don't have these advantages. None of that situation in 2019 pertains today. Moreover, turnout at those elections is always very low. European elections, obviously, the United Kingdom doesn't have European elections anymore because it's not in the EU. Local elections tend to go quite well for the Tories, partly because turnout is low, which redounds the advantage of the Conservatives, which are better at motivating their voters on the whole, who are generally speaking older than Labour or Liberal Democrat voters on average. So, it's all grim reading for the Conservative and Unionist Party. Could the party come third? People are saying, and it's a serious possibility. I don't say it's a likelihood, but it's not like a sort of 2% chance. It's maybe like a 40% chance come third. I mean, 2% of people think that Badenoch will be prime minister next time. 2%. Well, there are always a few imbeciles around. Even if only about 5% of Conservatives think that she will be. So, and it could get worse for the Conservatives. Labour could get a more effective leader. They could get Yvette Cooper or maybe David Lammy or something like that. And then she'd be really trounced. I think Yvette Cooper would be more effective. Plus, they probably think, well, we have to have a woman as leader. Okay, why don't I have to have a non-white as leader? They certainly don't want another white male. They're embarrassed by that. So, Kevi Badenoch, you may be sure will just hang around in politics like Haig did and eventually get a major seat in the cabinet. Right. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate PayPal, georgecallan795.com. Goodbye.